just looking for things that are missing from our family because I'm the second generation removed from not having any of that. My mom, she wasn't really brought up with any of that. Like, it didn't happen in their house. And I just think it's something that I've always wanted to know more about. Like, I was missing that little part of my life.
This is Yaj Monen, and I'm Kyla Katnedu. We're a podcast out of the Pokagon tribe in southwest Michigan and northern Indiana, and we're telling stories of our people reconnecting with culture, reviving traditions, and reclaiming their heritage. Yaj Monen means story in our language. So here's another. Aaron Topash Burgraff lived just across the Michigan border in Indiana as a child and young adult. Her home neighbored family, and with them she attended powwows and admired the dancers, but always from the circle's edge, never inside. Her mother's childhood home didn't emphasize Potawatomi culture, so neither did Aaron's. She saw culture, but didn't know how to practice it.
So how involved was your family? Was it just the powwows?
Just mainly the powwows, or like just our immediate family getting together. Because I don't think there was a whole lot to get involved in when I was younger.
And living that 30 minutes out,
yeah,
it was just far enough that you didn't always hear?
Yeah. I don't think we really knew or really talked to a lot of the people that were really heavily involved. So, I mean, I guess we didn't know really the right people to go to find out about certain things.
Growing up, leaving the house, what became your involvement after?
Well, by the time I was graduated from high school, they were starting to do a little bit more with, like, the youth. But with some of it, I was too old for. So that was kind of, I mean, I'm really happy they started doing more with the youth, but then I kind of felt kind of left out because I was never able to be a part of, like, culture camps and things like that.
You also said that you used to work, and now you're a stay-at-home mom full-time. How's that been?
Sometimes it's a bit crazy. Sometimes I miss working, but I think I'd miss being at home with my kids more. It's also good that I lost kind of like that connection with working, but I'm more involved with the tribe, so I'm still out there with other people and still being involved with things. Unlike, you know, some women feel trapped at home.
Right.
But I had kind of, I wouldn't call it an escape, but like an outlet, I guess, to go to where I can be around other moms.
Erin is less of a stay-at-home mom and more of a can't stop, won't stop, let's see what the tribe is doing today mom. Erin dove into the community like she hadn't been able to in her past. Language classes, harvesting, playgroup, regalia class, bundling, to name a few. She was looking for something much greater than entertainment for her or her family. She was searching for a piece of herself.
I think I'm just looking for things that are missing from our family because I'm the second generation removed from not having any of that. And I think I knew that was missing in my life. Like, I just felt like I wanted to know more. I went to that Boys with Braids workshop, and he said, with every, like, historic trauma, there's historic resilience. So for you to be here is a big deal. So not to take that for granted. And I thought that was really neat that he said that, because that also, like, goes back to, like, how every generation is trying to get better. Mm-hmm. And I think we are getting better. Once you're raised in this type of environment, a little piece of that comes to each generation. And if it's something that's negative, it's going to take a couple generations for you to get over that, because it's every generation you're trying to improve.
Trauma experienced by ancestors manifests itself in subtle and some obvious ways for many generations. It's called historic trauma. Its positive counterbalance is blood memory. Blood memory is knowledge of traditional practices passed through DNA. It's knowledge you don't even know you have until one day you enter a situation and act.
I know there's certain things that I did that I didn't know why I did it. And then I come to certain teachings and things like that, and I'm like, oh, I guess that's why I did that. Like, it wasn't...
Give me an example.
It's just a part, like, there's certain things I do outside with my kids when we're doing things with plants or whatever, and I'm just like, oh, I think this is used for this, this, and that. I thought it was just me, like, a little quirk I had, or, you know, just... Oh, that's just the way it was until I started being a part of more things and realizing, no, there's a reason why you do that. And then we go to this harvesting, and I'm like, did you know this plant is for this? And I'm like, for some reason, I thought I knew that, that was okay for my kids to be around. Or like when you're bundling things, people take fabric and they wrap things in it. There's times when I have things that were important to me that I had, like, fabric, everything separated and wrapped up, and we went to the bundling that was last winter, and they're like, now when you do your bundle, you do this, this, and this, and I'm like, I do that stuff already, and I didn't know, like, that was something you should be doing. I just feel like this is the way this is supposed to be. But, yeah, I think it's something that exists. And certain people just pawn it off as like, yeah, this is just a fluke, but I don't think it is.
Erin attends one of our weekly language classes and even brings her daughter and son with her sometimes. She eagerly joined Potawatomi 101 when it opened. The class teaches the very basics, just what she needed. Now, she's graduated into 201.
It's not intimidating where before the other language classes, it's like if you didn't already know, you're walking into something that was a bit above your level. But I like that they started doing the 101 where it's like the basics for some. Can carry on a conversation, but it's not like it's like a huge conversation. I guess it would be like kindergarten, like kids talking like that, not like, you know, like scholar conversation going on.
What's your goal as far as learning Potawatomi?
I'm not going to be confident and say I'm going to be like fluent. I just want to learn as much as I can and try and teach my children as much as I can. I think it's just important to try and take that back because it was taken away from so many people and there's not that many that know it. For them just to learn one word, they're just taking back just a little bit more.
What are some of the teachings that have been really valuable and life-changing to you?
My favorite is when we did the bundling. That was really important just to kind of learn about certain things in the family and trying to bring that back to our community. I really loved that, and the group of people that were there were open to questions, and they didn't make you feel stupid. Like, oh, well, how did you not know that? Because I think more people are coming forward and realizing that they weren't brought up with traditions like some families were. They talked about certain things that go into your bundle, like your bundle could be a bag or anything like that. You have the four medicines. They gave us lullabies and songs to share, and it had other stories, you know, that you could pass on to your kids. All that was part of the bundle and kind of learning how to teach that to your kids and to other members of the family, and learning how if you wanted to get your spirit name or like your children's spirit name, how you would go about doing that in the proper way. Part of that bundling is that our society kind of looks at like you're supposed to be molding your kid kind of in how you think they're going to be accepted. Their big point was that your child is teaching you more than you need to teach them, and to look at what their gifts are and how to guide them. So I think by doing that, letting them have their own freedom, I can kind of see certain things that are coming back to them.
Why do you think it's so different?
I think it's how kids are valued. They had that whole kids are meant to be seen but not heard, where it's like the, I think the opposite with our cultures, where children are meant to be heard and seen and be considered a part of the group just as much as anybody else. their time away from the Creator has been shorter than what mine is. Like, my daughter has been away from the Creator only 3 years, where I've been away 30 years. So I've kind of lost a little bit more of that connection. But she has still a lot of innocence, how she sees things, where I might not see it that way. So I think that's like the big teaching, is that separation of time and innocence that they still have and how they see things. A lot of people say when they're talking to themselves, they're not really talking to like themselves. They're actually having a conversation with the Creator or their ancestors around, because they can see that, where I can't see what they're talking about or who they're talking to, but they know.
What are some of the things that your kids are going to know that maybe you didn't know when you were a kid growing up?
I guess, like certain things, like why they're done a certain way. Like when you go to like the water walk, I took my daughter to just like the opening ceremonies, because she wouldn't have been able to do that whole walk. Just to kind of see like why the water is important and why you need to take the steps you need to do to protect it. I want them to be aware of that so that they can learn all that they need to learn to keep traditions going. My son likes to be around the drums, so I don't know, maybe he'll want to be a part of that when he gets older. It's a choice for them. And my daughter likes to talk about the powwow and dancing, so I think maybe that's something she'll want to do. That's something that I wanted to do growing up, but I never knew who to talk to. Was there somebody I had to talk to, or what did my regalia have to look like? I didn't want to go out there wrong, and that's always something I wanted to do growing up, and I want that to be a choice, an option for them, where I didn't feel like that was really an option for me.
Have you made regalia now?
Yeah, this last class that they did, I did my kids first, because I wanted them to have something, then later on I just did like a simple skirt for myself, but I did regalia for both of my kids so that they could go out there.
How did it feel seeing them in the arena when that wasn't really an option for you as a child?
It was a bit emotional knowing that they were okay to be out there and that they wanted to be out there. My daughter, this year, she went out there and she actually understood and she actually danced. So it was kind of emotional to know that they had that option and they took it and they were okay being out there.
What do you have to say to people who want to be involved and who don't feel like they can right now?
If you want to be involved, you have to make it a priority. When I was struggling with work and the kids, there were times when I was tired and I didn't want to do certain things, but I made it a priority and I made it important. I knew it was important. If you keep saying, well, I'll go next time, who knows if that type of teaching or workshop is going to be available again. So you have to get over the intimidation factor, because not everybody there has like the full, I guess, teaching or knows everything. Like, you can always learn, or you might have a piece of a puzzle that somebody else never knew something about. And I think that's where a lot of like intimidation comes from, where like people are like, I don't feel comfortable going because I don't know how these people are going to make me feel, because I'm not a part of something, or my family hasn't been involved. I think the first time or two it was kind of like intimidating, but I don't feel that anymore. I feel like if I had a question, I would know who to go to for something, versus being like, well, I don't know who to go to, so I guess I won't ever figure this out. We're more of a community than what we were before. Like, we're more together. We want to be together. We want to come together.
Going back to you feeling like something was missing, how do you feel now?
I feel like I'm getting a little bit of that back. I know there's more that I want to learn about. I'm a little bit more confident when I go to things where I can help somebody. Where before I was kind of like, oh, I'll just sit back and watch. Where now I can be more active and confident about helping somebody that might have the same questions that I had before.
Shared about weekly, monthly, and annual events and programs that are open to our citizens and sometimes the greater community. Check out our website if you want to discover a little more about some of these. Our website calendar lists all events, and group and program information is scattered throughout. We hope you find something that will help you feel the connection you're seeking. Our music is composed by tribal citizen Bobby Lynn, and Paige Risser and myself produce this podcast, and I edit it. Next month, you'll hear from a member of two of our most revered groups. He's an elder and a veteran, and he's sharing his experiences with true love, war, and coming home. Until next time, Bama P, be with you again.